This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today I'm with Chiselle Rodriguez, multifaceted teaching and performing artist. Welcome, Chiselle.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Chiselle, you are into music, dance, acting, modeling, fitness. Tell us about your artistic trajectory.
Performance has been a great part of my life, performing arts to be exact, since really the beginning. I think I was sort of born into just loving music and naturally moving to music. I guess you could say I started as a student, I would say when I was about 9 years old, and that's when I picked up the violin. And I played for 6 years. And, you know, my mom was just a big advocate of having me in class. And she saw something there with me when it came to, like, you know, always performing in front of family and having just a natural ability when it came to music and dance. And yeah, that just sort of translated into extracurricular classes in school. And that really just sparked the passion.
And I understand that you went to a performing arts high school too, correct?
I did. I went to a performing arts middle school and high school, actually, here in Tucson, Arizona. I went to Pister Middle School, which for a long time was known for their performing arts and their dance program before, unfortunately, that program got cut. And then I went to Tucson High School, is also known for their performing arts. And that was a big reason why my mom wanted me to go and why I went. So I got a lot of good practice on those stages.
And your parents are very musical too.
They are big lovers of music. So I grew up, you know, with a very rich household. I have younger parents, I guess you could say. We, even my entire family, really, we're all music lovers. So it was great for me as a young person to be able to, you know, submerge myself in that. I really didn't have a choice, but I'm grateful for it.
Could you tell us about an artifact that you found and that made its way into one of your tracks involving your parents?
Oh, yes. That would be back to my debut album, My Story, The Making of a Maverick, which I released. Actually, gosh, I can't believe it's been so long already. I released that album back in 2007. And yeah, there's an excerpt on the album that features both my parents. And it's kind of crazy how I would say, you know, it's crazy in one hand and divine in the other, because my mom somehow happened to still have the cassette tape. I want to say it was even like a, what is that? Answering machine tape, maybe, you know, but it was some type of old school cassette tape that she happened to still have in her possession. And I can't remember if she had it when we moved here. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so I'm not sure if she had it then or if she ended up getting her hands on it, you know, after visiting, like in storage or something. But yeah, I'm in the process of my, you know, putting together my album, and really the songwriting for some of the songs on there started as early as me being 14 years old. So it had been like a long process. I think I just remember being at home at one point and my mom found a way to play these tapes and we were shocked. Yeah, she happened to find this really special moment of her and my father rapping and him beatboxing. And that's something that they used to do, you know, because they grew up at, you know, at the conception of hip hop. You know, they were fortunate enough to witness that on the tape. You have them kind of doing their thing. And then at the end of it, I think I'm like definitely a toddler at that point. And I say something at the end of it like, I'm bad, referencing LL Cool J's I'm Bad. And that is just really indicative of my upbringing when it comes to music and hip hop, and even well beyond hip hop as well.
Can you talk a little bit about your process, especially if some of your songwriting started at age 14? You know, what was that process like for you?
I had a liking for poetry, like in elementary school. I don't know what it is. I just anything that allowed me to be able to express myself. And even on paper, reading and writing is something that I picked up very, very early on. Shout out to my mom for just really, like, both my parents really just honing in on me and pouring into me. I used to hang out with my cousins. And, you know, she would do all types of stuff to keep us creative. Like, hey, you know, this is way before, you know, today's kids with technology. It's like, you know, we were playing outside and we had coloring books and just all types of stuff, you know. And I remember one time, probably a little bit to keep us out of her hair too, but I think one time she bought us notebooks, and basically we could do whatever we wanted with the notebooks. And that was the beginning of me trying my hand at writing my own songs. And that actually started at 12. I remember exactly. And from there, it didn't stop. You know, I filled that entire notebook up and added many more, you know, to it. But I'm so grateful for that. And it was just a natural thing that I took up. I love to listen to music, listen to the structure of music, and then try my hand at, you know, putting songs together. And really, I'd say between 12 and 14, structure a song from like verses and chorus, you know, hook and chorus to pre-choruses and bridges. I learned that very early on. And I remember at 13, you know, within that year, the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill album dropped. And so that, I think at that point where my mind was in its development, I was able to consume that album in, I think, in a mature way for a young person. And so I was so inspired by her artistry that I think that really helped me, even when it came to like me figuring out song structure and how I wanted to write lyrics, and then also singing and rapping, which is something that has always been with me. But then to discover an artist that did both at an amazing level and naturally, yeah, that I remember that being a special moment.
I also wanted to ask you about your experiences performing at the Tucson Hip Hop Festival.
You know, things are different now when it comes to festivals, so who knows what the future holds, but I would definitely recommend for you and whoever else that hasn't had an opportunity to attend to definitely check it out. Before it was the Tucson Hip Hop Festival, I remember it being the Tucson Hip Hop Summit. And that, I think that was in like 2016, I believe. That was at a, like a little small kind of home venue. I think it was called the Scratch Shack. And there's a little stage in there. Just think of it almost like living room style. And I performed. That was my first involvement with it. And then I think I performed like maybe 2 years after that. And it's been so great to see it evolve and grow from the summit and the Scratch Shack to the actual festival, and then taking up a whole block of like downtown Tucson. It's a great way to connect with the community, connect with the hip hop community, and to, you know, submerse yourself in all of the elements of hip hop, you know, from graffiti to DJing to breaking and dancing down to MCing. And so it's, it's been a really cool experience and a pretty big deal for Tucson and the Southwest.
Giselle, I understand that you've done a variety of teaching. Could you talk to us about your teaching too?
I would say I started putting together and leading dances with like my friends and classmates like since grade school. The earliest I can remember is putting a routine together with my best friend at the time back in Pittsburgh. We were like 9 years old. And it's funny, like my mom, she's the type of mom that would be right there in the living room with us, like, try this, you should do this. Giving us ideas and input. And, you know, she's still very much the same way. Before I even became a teacher officially, I think honing in on practice with leading others in movement, again, just started in school. I remember in middle school, being that we put on performances and being a performing arts middle school, I had opportunities to get my friends together that were in class with me, and we would always perform. We'd always be on stage. And a lot of the time, like, I had a lot of input on that. And, you know, it never stopped. So then I transitioned into high school, which kind of, you know, you stepped the game up a little bit more. At this point, you know, you have to audition to be in classes. And, you know, so there's a little bit of that competitive edge there. And you're graded, you know, on coming up with pieces. And also learning how to stage pieces on a large stage. You know, I've been on so many stages around Tucson, but Tucson High, that auditorium is so special. It has a lot of history, and it looks like one of your old school traditional auditoriums. And so I had a lot of practice with getting familiar on stage. So I'm so grateful for that experience of learning how to put pieces on stage. You know, I love to use that word trajectory as well, because it's so real, you know, and my life today is a result, you know, of the trajectory that led me to this point, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for those experiences in school, which is why I'm such a big advocate for the arts today. It's so necessary for students to be able to have that outlet and that outlet for expression. For those who really do understand the arts, they know the significance that it holds and the benefits that come from it that also enhance other areas of the academic experience. And so this is why making sure the arts maintain in schools, that they are equally respected as other courses, that they're available and funded, because I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for the arts in school.
Well, and it sounds like that rich student experience that you had is completely informing your experience as a teacher too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. I've had some really amazing full circle moments from, you know, serving as a teacher at a local charter high school here, East Point High School to be exact, you know, teaching dance to those students and to those youth. Also, you know, I've had an opportunity, it was pretty crazy, to teach, it was like a summer enrichment program at Tucson High, you know, and I hadn't had an opportunity to be back at my high school really since I graduated in that form, in that sense. And I was placed in my old jazz dance room. And it was incredible, just the energy to be like, oh my gosh, here I am, however many lots of some years later, and I'm back in here and I'm teaching. Like, so it's those moments and those connecting of the dots that lets me know how important our trajectory is. And especially when we find something that we enjoy and we're intentional about that work. And I still find that happening for me today. So yes, teaching has been a great part of my life.
Giselle, I wanted to ask you about Unlock Creative's Flowers Sister Circle, sponsored by the Arts Foundation. For our listeners, it's a cohort building program where women of color are able to meet in an intimate virtual or real space to build relationships and explore aspects of the creative sector. Could you tell us a little bit about that experience?
I had the pleasure of wrapping another cohort with them, I believe last month, in February. Yeah, it's such a rich experience. And that was my second cohort with them. So my first cohort, which is the Professional Sister Circle, that one was in the fall of 2020. And that one also focused on Black women creatives that are located in Arizona specifically. I had a few people emailing me like, hey, have you heard about this? You really need to give this a shot and check it out. So I had that coming from different directions. And it was one of those things where it was just like, you know what, I can't ignore this. Like, let me look into this and see what happens. And there is an application process, a selection process as well. So I was lucky enough to be selected, and I have no regrets. I'm so happy that the universe, you know, moved me in that direction, because it was such a supportive and brave space for us women and us creative women within the arts. So everyone from artists like myself to also art administrators and and just really from all different walks of life. It was such a positive, enriching experience where we gained resources and we were able to network and learn from one another. And I enjoyed it so much that I did want to join the next cohort that was nationwide. And the founders of Unlock are Ashley Walden Davis and Candace Feldman. And those two ladies are on fire. And you really feel their commitment and their passion for their work and what they do. And they pass that along to the rest of us. And it sort of creates this ripple effect, you know, of energy and of forward thinking. So it's kind of hard to choose a standout. But one thing that I will say that was a common thread amongst those women and those sisters was how they were able to triumph and how they were able to pivot and overcome obstacles, you know, such as discrimination in the workplace, racism in the workplace, and so many other blocks, you know, that essentially affected their mental health and affected how they felt going into work. I'm sure anyone who has had similar experiences understands that it could be very, very detrimental to your health, especially if you're in that sort of situation for a long period of time. And a lot of the women have had stories that were parallel to that experience. It has been so inspiring to see how they maneuvered and how they took risks. And some of those risks, for example, even in the founders and Ashley and Candace, were to then decide to work for themselves, to figure out how they could work for themselves and then empower other women and pass that knowledge on to other women and create something larger than themselves that had impact. And so to hear stories like that all the time was empowering for me, you know, looking ahead, realizing that I don't have to put up with those things. And we have choice and we have option. And especially, you know, if we stick together and if we help each other through that and become, you know, resources of support for one another. So
it's so true. I think that we can spend a lot of time looking for a seat at the table. And it's like, you know what, there's never going to be the right seat for me at this table. I got to build another table. Giselle, what's next for you? What should we be watching out for?
I've always had a little thing for that one, just because, and especially now, you know, with where life is right now, I have been learning the importance of being present in the now and being so grateful in the now, so much so that I'm not too concerned with the future that's too far ahead. And actually, I do have a couple of major things that came up for me that I have yet to share that I'm so grateful and excited about. I'm sure you know, if you ever get that feeling, if it's something that you have your set sight on and your eyes set on, rather, and let's say, you know, you apply for something however long ago and you end up getting that call back, you know, that, and it's a yes, you know. And I recently made a post about that, you know, about rejection and how we're faced with so much rejection. But, you know, I'm learning to look at that as really a redirection to something better and something that is more meant for you and more aligned for you. So that's been happening a lot in my life. I'll say that even through a pandemic, I've been very grateful to be able to create. And out of nowhere, just this past month, you know, I've had a lot of collaborative releases that I'm really proud of. So I really would like people to pay attention to that. I have a collaboration that I just dropped, a musical collaboration, a hip hop soul song. It sort of has that hip hop soul vibe. It's called Believe, and it's actually my first overseas collaboration with an artist out of the UK that goes by Inglorious Poet, and it also features K-Prez out of New Jersey, and it's a super inspiring song released at the top of the year. I also wrapped a project this month with a local artist by the name of Shark Heart, who is a super talented vocalist and instrumentalist, released a single called Work Fires. And I contributed choreography to that music video. And that is now out, available on YouTube. And that's Shark Heart. If I can get it right, it's two K's and then it's two T's at the end of heart. That's one collaboration. Another thing I'm actually working on right now is a scripted podcast. It's called Tucson Heat, and that's from Elephant Scout, which is a production company that I've had the pleasure of working with before. And it's a fictional series about the adventures of two female detectives who are out to hunt down a serial killer, but there's a string of robberies on the way to that. And we just dropped episode 3 recently. So there's lots more fun episodes to come. So those are a few of some of the projects that have been keeping me busy within the past month as far as releases.
I asked you the question, but I actually really love how you pushed back against the question, because it's almost like I have that issue with goal setting in general, yeah. Right? There's so much focus on like best self journal and setting, you know, your sights super high and being, you know, striving, you know, for reaching a greater goal all the time. And it's like, you know, that constant chasing, that's a big part of our, you know, of our society and of our reality. It doesn't leave any time for being in the moment, and being in the moment is really where the human experience is at.
But I'm learning so much, you know, to be more present. I just finished taking a mindfulness course and, you know, trying to pick up the habit of meditating daily. That's sort of fading out a little bit, but I'm trying to maintain it. But that course really helped me understand the importance of being present, you know, in the present moment, and just being grateful for that.
How do you feel like the pandemic has played into that? Do you feel like maybe this was finally the opportunity that you got to be able to experiment with meditation? I guess I'm asking that question because I had that exact experience where for years I was like, oh, I want to start meditating, and I never was able to really make it happen. And it wasn't until really the last year, pretty much, that I was able to kind of work it into my schedule and also just reap enormous benefits from it. How do you feel this pandemic has affected your artistic life, your personal life? How is it intertwined with, you know, with collaborations or less collaborations? I know some artists found themselves collaborating less because of social isolation and learning lessons from that too. I'm just curious about how this has all played out for you. And now too, that we're kind of entering into a new phase of like kind of getting closer to reopenings and imagining the possibility of being with each other again.
I think more so what I've noticed is for me, because the creative has always been there, I was surprised that during the pandemic, it didn't come to a complete halt for me, and that I was able to release my first two songs that I hadn't released songs in a long time, you know? And so I was so happy I was able to do that. And I was able to actually collaborate on a music video for one of those songs at the very start of the pandemic, which was really crazy. And that single is called Special Friend. And for the music video, it's just me in the music video and not even thinking about anything pandemic. My creative process had started prior to that. I wanted it to be like out in nature. I wanted to have sort of this serene vibe to it, sort of like a 70s vibe to it as well. Then all of a sudden, you know, March, when all this happened last year, I was like, okay, well, you know, I still have plans to put this forward. Let's do it. And a little something about that is we shot some scenes on Mount Lemmon and some scenes near the university. And at this point, you know, people were like heavily in quarantine, like no one was out, like the streets were empty, everything was pretty much shut down. And it made those moments in the video that much more special and that much more real as far as what was happening at the time. And so I could remember being out on campus and people, maybe very, very few people, but a couple of people were like laid out sunbathing. There, I remember at one point there was like another athlete just like kind of doing some exercises on the lawn. And one of the scenes I have in the video is of me like doing a few yoga poses. And I remember there was a woman sitting under a tree. And she was like yelling some stuff out. She was like, hey, just really just giving us props on like, she was watching the entire time. And like, it's so cool, you know, to see someone out here at this time and like being in nature and being, you know, one with their movement and all that. And it was really, really just indicative of the times. And so I'm grateful for like a moment like that and you know, to be able to still create during that time. So I would say what maybe was more different creatively in 2020 was the fact that there's so much open space, so much more open space now to do the things that maybe we weren't able to do as much. A lot of that could be like the deeper work, like all of a sudden, you know, we have all this time and it's like, we're not spending enough time outdoors, or you know, we're spending so much time with ourselves. It's like what to do, you know, to prevent from going stir crazy. So then you're sort of forced into maybe therapy, or maybe not forced, but like inspired, you know, or maybe, you know, for me, just taking up different activities that normally I wouldn't, like journaling more, or like adult coloring, picking up things like that, doing more at home yoga. So I would say this time has really, even though I already was one who spends a lot of time to myself, so that wasn't a shock for me. But, you know, when you take away the options to do the things that I normally would do, then it did sort of push me, I would say, and challenge me. And even still, you know, to be like, okay, how do I create my own beneficial structure in a sense for myself, or how do I, you know, find new tools to stay present and stay sane?
One of the things that, you know, has kept me really sane is I live on the edge of the desert and I take a desert walk every day, and it's like kind of like clockwork. I have to do it. My family knows, okay, it's sunset. Where's mom? She disappeared. No, she's probably walking in the desert, you know?
Oh, that's so good.
And if I didn't, I know that I just really wouldn't. I need that movement. I need to connect with nature. And it gives something amazing to me every time. So I'm just so sincerely appreciative of that, and of the new appreciation that I have, even to really, you know, be present when I'm out and feel connected.
Yes. It's everything. It's like, you know, when the distractions are sort of like pulled away, it helps us realize like there actually is so much out here for free for us, you know. Especially we're lucky here in Arizona because we have such gorgeous landscape and weather. We're not burning up right now. So
Well, Giselle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so peaceful.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Today, we heard from multifaceted teaching and performing artist Giselle Rodriguez. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. Support for Artist Stories is provided by Benjamin Supply, presenting a full spectrum of hardware and plumbing fixtures for kitchen and bath, and their gallery Tucson, offering national and local art in both the Tucson Warehouse and Transfer Buildings on 6th Street and 7th Avenue. Call 777-7000 or visit benjaminsupply.com or gallerytucson.com.